Hello, everyone, and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I'm glad you're joining me for another episode of Spiritual Perspectives, where we are going to continue to take a look at what's behind the whole thing of, you know, what people are really getting to when they say they believe in God. What do you mean when you say you believe in God? Do you suppose that most people who say they believe in God imitate him, or at least try diligently to imitate him, to be like him, to think like him? Of course, that's one of the reasons that he had his word written down, his truth written down, life's principles written down, so that we could see, we could read for ourselves how he thinks, what he likes, what he dislikes, so that we would have an opportunity to imitate him. Okay, so God is opposed to adultery. All right, then I will also be opposed to adultery. So God doesn't want us to hate people. He wants us to love people. Okay, I'm going to ask God to give me the strength to love people, even my enemies, since he says that we should be loving even our enemies, wanting what's best for them. And sometimes it's just a matter of wanting what's best for them, not necessarily having a strong affection, an equally strong affection for everyone we know, because that's not going to happen. But he sure doesn't want us hating anyone, including those who hate us. So what do we do? What do we mean when we say we believe in God? Is it just a matter of, well, I'm convinced that he exists? Now, when the scriptures talk about believing in God, particularly in the New Testament, believing in God means more than just we are aware of his existence and we're convinced that he does exist. Remember, James, in writing to these saints to whom he wrote, said, hey, look, the devils believe that and they tremble. So what he was saying is it's not enough to just say you're convinced that God exists. Demons believe God exists. They know God exists. They're fully convinced of that. But that doesn't make them followers of Christ. They're still demons, fallen creatures who were destined for the lake of fire, for eternal damnation. Now, when the New Testament talks about believing in God, we certainly are convinced that he exists, but we go far beyond that, and we actually embrace him as righteous and holy, as a holy God, a holy God, a holy God. And we embrace his teachings. We don't just read what is written in the Word of God, the Bible, and then dismiss it, forget about it. No, we read it for the purpose of getting to know God better so that we can allow his Spirit to give us the strength we need to live better, to live more and more and more like God himself lives. Like God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, lived when he was on this earth, a righteous and holy lifestyle. We believe in God. We're fully convinced that he exists. We are fully convinced that he is the supreme person in all of the world, the supreme being in all of his world, and that it is absolutely necessary for us to be filled with his Spirit so that we can receive the power we need to please God, to obey him, to be obedient to him, to be continually obedient to him. So that's what we do. We work at that. We work at that. We work at that. And it does take work because it's not always easy, for example, to forgive everyone. It's not always easy. It's not always easy to be truly patient. Biblical patience is patience without the complaining and the murmuring. Complaining and murmuring is what caused, is largely what caused a lot of the Israelites who were traveling through the wilderness from Egypt to the land of Canaan to be killed in the wilderness. Murmuring and complaining. If you're murmuring and complaining, you're not exercising patience, not biblical patience. Yeah, in order to be imitating Christ, we learn to suffer long. We practice suffering long. Sometimes 2 or 3 years with the same person causing the same troubles. Sometimes 15 years and longer with the same person causing the same troubles. Whether we're talking about a coworker or a spouse, a child, whoever, someone who worships at the same place we worship to, or at least goes to the same place that we go to, the same place of worship. Not always easy, but it's always necessary. It is always required. And that's why it's so important for us to have the Spirit of God in our lives, because He comes in and He gives us the strength we need. In fact, He strengthens us from the inside so that our thought processes, our attitudes, and then our behavior can line up with God's word. In other words, we read what He requires of us, and by the help of the Spirit of God, we comply with what God requires of us. Well, we're going to continue and take a look at what Pew Research has learned in their surveys as they talk with people about what they mean when they say they believe in God. But before we go there, let's go back to the internet. I want you to hear now from Ligonier Ministries as they are asking people about God, salvation, and the Bible, and what they believe.
Do you consider yourself a Christian?
I do.
Oh, yes, I am.
Yes?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is very interesting. Notice how assertively these people are saying they are indeed Christians. They were asked, are you a Christian? And these first few people said unequivocally and without hesitation, yes, I'm a Christian. Now, more questions are going to follow that. Listen to the responses to some of these other questions.
Yes.
I was raised in Christianity.
Do you believe you're going to heaven?
Oh, I don't know. That's not up to me.
Now, this is one of the men who said immediately, yes, I'm a Christian. When asked if he was a Christian, without hesitation, he said yes. When asked if he believes he's going to heaven, he said he does not know. Now, he did qualify. It's not up to him. Technically, it's not up to him because he does not have the final say. God does. But God makes his decision based on what? Let's listen some more.
I do my best.
Do you believe that you're going to heaven?
I can't say if I am or I'm not.
I'd like to think so.
Yes, I do.
Well, I'm hoping for that, yes.
I don't know. Hopefully.
How good would you have to be in order to get into heaven?
The gentleman asking the questions of the people who have stopped to talk with him asked the question, how good do you suppose you'd have to be in order to get into heaven? What are your thoughts about that? How good do you have to be in order to get into heaven? Is it based on our goodness?
Yeah, I don't know.
I believe that there's steps, though, to get there.
Do you believe that you contribute anything to your going to heaven?
Yeah. Yeah, I try to make sure at least I try to make sure that I make some kind of an impact on someone every day.
How would you react if I were to tell you that your salvation doesn't depend on your works, it depends on what Christ has already done?
Well, I can agree with that, but it also depends on how you live your life and you follow what God's guidelines are.
Do you believe the...
What do you think about that? Is it just a matter of having accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and boom, you're done? Or is it a matter of following God's guidelines after accepting Jesus Christ as Savior? Listen to this again.
Done. Well, I can agree with that, but it also depends on.
And again, he's talking about the work, the one interviewing, the one asking the questions, ask, hey, what about Jesus' finished works?
It doesn't depend on your works. It depends on what Christ has already done.
Well, I can agree with that, but it also depends on how you live your life and you follow what God's guidelines are.
Do you believe the Bible is God's word?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely, I do.
I believe that there's some aspects of the Bible that are aligned with God's word and other sacred literature as well.
Do you think that there perhaps could be mistakes in the Bible?
Well, I think if the part of the Bible is wrong, all of it's wrong.
People transcribing it throughout all the decades and whatnot, I could see that happening.
I think everything could possibly have a mistake. It's what you believe and your faith.
I haven't found any yet.
I've read a lot of, sacred texts and literatures and from all different religions, because I'm kind of fascinated with that, and I don't consider myself to be of one particular religion. So I just think if you really read them.
And as you listen, I want to point out to you that the lady who is talking now is one of those several people who answered unequivocally she is a Christian.
In a roundabout way, they're all saying the same thing.
How often do you attend church?
Every week.
A few times a month, a couple of times a month.
3 or 2 Sundays a month.
About 2 to 3 times a month.
Do you believe that church membership is important?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, why is that? I'm just curious.
Because I believe that, like, we're all really one church and that I don't need to be a member of any specific organization.
Do you believe that man is basically good by nature?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
I think we can be.
Well, I'd like to say yes to that. But
yeah, by nature, they are supposedly in the Bible. You was all deemed good until, some people got corrupt.
We have the opportunity to be good.
It's a God-given trait.
We are created by God, and we as humans are gods.
There are evil and good.
What did you think about that? The young man who just said that we're created by gods and we are gods, plural. We are gods. How many of you are convinced that human beings are gods? We had that lengthy discussion some time ago. Gods. We are gods. How many of you would say, well, not all humans are gods, but Christians are gods? How many of you believe that, are convinced of that?
No, and we just have to get all on the right path.
Do I truly believe that if man was left to himself, if good things would happen? I kind of doubt that.
What do you think? If man were left to himself, would we be good in and of ourselves, and would we cause only good to take place on the earth? We're gods. We have to believe in the finished work of Christ, but then we also have our works to do. That's what one of the men said. And notice this now, and this is critical. When he talked about the work that we have to do, he specifically said we have to make sure we are following the guidelines laid out in the Bible. After placing our faith in Jesus' finished works, we still have to follow the guidelines that are given to us in the Bible. Or do you think that once we accept that Jesus did everything necessary to empower us to become children of God. And we then say, well, you know what? I do want Jesus to forgive me for my sins, to cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness, and I want to become a child of God. I want to be made a child of God. I'd like for that to happen right now. And if that does happen, do you think that from that point on, we can just ignore the guidelines that tell us how to establish, how to develop a godly lifestyle? Okay, taking a look at Pew. Taking a look at some of the various groups, subgroups of Americans and where they stand with regards to this belief in God. Pew's research, their survey, shows that compared with older adults, people under age 50 generally view God as less powerful and less involved in earthly affairs than do older Americans. People under age 50 generally view God as less powerful and less involved in earthly affairs than do older Americans. At the same time, however, young adults are somewhat more likely than their elders to say they believe that they personally have been punished by God or a higher power in the universe. That's so interesting. He's less involved in earthly affairs, but they have been punished by him. Highly educated Americans and those who have just high school education or less, which of those two groups would you say are more likely to believe in the God of the Bible? Highly educated Americans or Americans with a high school education or less? Okay, two groups now, high school education or less, and the second group is highly educated Americans. Which of those two groups is more likely to believe in the God of the Bible? Would you believe that adults with a high school education or less are more likely to believe in God than highly educated Americans? Of those Americans who have high school education or less, two-thirds say they believe in God as described in the Bible. Of those who have obtained at least some college education, 53% versus 67%. 67%. Let me go back for just a minute. 67% of U.S. adults with high school education or less believe in God of the Bible, whereas only 53% of those with some college education also believe in the God of the Bible. Among college graduates, only 45% say they believe in the biblical God. So interestingly enough, in America, as educational levels increase, belief in the God of the Bible decreases. That's intriguing, that people with less education are more likely to believe in the God of the Bible. The data also show that compared with those with lower levels of educational attainment, college graduates are less likely to believe that God or some other higher power in the universe is active and involved in the world and in their personal lives. For instance, while 54% of college graduates say they have been rewarded by God, 68% of those with some college education and 75% of those with high school education or less say the same thing. God is actively involved in their world and in the world and in their personal lives. 54% of college graduates say they believe this. 68% of those with only some college education believe this. And 75% of those with high school education or less believe this. Let me give that to you one more time. Notice, again, the graduation. as you go higher in educational levels, belief in God, even when it comes to his involvement in our personal lives, goes down. 54% of those who have graduated from college say they've been rewarded by God. 68% of those with only some college education say that they've been rewarded by God, while 75% of those with high school education or less say that they have been rewarded by God. Just one-third, 33% of college graduates say that God determines all or most of what happens in their lives, far below the share who say this among those with less education. All right, we're going to continue to take a look at the breakdown of where we stand in America with regards to what we do and don't believe about God. And the breakdown, when we come back, will start with a political breakdown. We'll see what they're saying about Republicans and Democrats. Son of God and Son of Man, heaven's glory in a manger has come to us in Bethlehem.